I was just playing my violin here in Studio B. My name is Roy Tuckman. I'm a longtime KPFK programmer, and this is going to be a special live KPFK Matters program having to do with programming. How is it done, and how should it be done? Because a lot of changes are going down at Pacifica Radio, and changes that will affect, very importantly, our programming. That's what this 2 hours is about. Let me see. Today on Pacifica Matters, we'll be discussing how programming might be managed under the new structures of governance being developed here at Pacifica Radio and KPFK. How should programming policy be developed? Who is that policy supposed to serve? And how should programming decisions be made? Should there be a programming council? If so, why? And of course, how would a programming council be created? And what would its role be? We have a script here. I'm going to throw it away. And we're going to go just like the old-fashioned way and play it by ear. We have several people in the studio, and who, along with you, the callers, will be discussing programming council and programming structures. First, from the KPFK lab, which means Local Advisory Board, Lydia Brazon, who is the chairperson.
Thank you.
Hi.
Well, what our programming council is going to be is what we're waiting to hear from our listeners, largely. But also, there are some...
I just want to introduce everybody
real quick first.
And then we'll get into the subject matter before anybody forgets that they're here. And we have Sherna Gluck, who is a Free Pacifica Neighborhood Network personage,
okay.
Personage, hi.
And member of the Southwest Asia Programming Collective.
How did you get to, what is the Free Pacifica Neighborhood Network, and how did you get to be on that?
Well, any listener can join, based either on their neighborhood or some kind of interest or affinity group. And the idea is to build a strong listener movement, many of us think, to keep KPFK and Pacifica on course and help rebuild it.
So information about people, about Free Pacifica Neighborhood Network is online at fpnn.org, right?
Mm-hmm.
And anybody can join.
Right.
Even Sherna Gluck.
Correct.
And you're chosen to be here as an interested party on programming.
I'm self-chosen. No, I was asked to be here because I helped to organize a forum on the whole notion of program councils and forwarded some ideas of my own.
Okay, and we have Carl Gunther, who's also from the Free Pacifica Neighborhood Network. Hi, Carl.
Good to be here.
And what part of the FPNN are you on?
Well, currently I'm a member of the coordinating committee of the FPNN, which is the body that each chapter of the FPNN sends representatives to for making decisions that require the input of the entire body. I also was involved with Sherna in organizing the Program Council Forum that we had recently, and I think that's one of the main reasons I'm here today.
Okay, and we have on the phone Jonathan Markowitz. He's on line 12. Jonathan?
This is Jonathan Markowitz.
Okay, and who are you, and why are you here? Or how are you here?
Well, thank you for taking my call, Roy. I actually became involved a long time ago when I realized that programmers such as yourself may be at risk. But as far as my, quote, credentials, unquote, I have been involved in numerous listener groups and currently submitted a proposal for program councils, as well as having been a co-drafter of the Pacifica Accountability Committee bylaws draft for KPFK. I wanted to just go right into a couple of issues. That what really is at stake here is control of programming. That is, who makes the decisions as to the programming content, schedule of programming, what programs would fit into Pacifica's mission. And many in the community involved in this movement to liberate Pacifica are concerned that the process now that is underway may or may not actually solve the problems that got us into the problem in the first place with the takeover, as well as solve some of the underlying issues of to what degree listeners in the community should have in terms of power over programming. And so Sherna and Carl's effort to stage some conferences and forums regarding how programming councils should be constituted, members of those councils should be chosen, is a critical element here. And how that dovetails into the bylaws is also of concern to me, because the bylaws, which eventually will be ratified by the national board, the current actually interim national board, as well as some of the lab members, will have ratification powers in that per the settlement agreement.
Okay, we're getting very legalistic. By the way, you don't have to worry about my program. Our previous program director searched high and low for many moons trying to find somebody who can stay up all night. And there just aren't very many people who are able to do that. So my hours is like an ecological niche that's hard to fill.
Roy, can I just follow up that this Sunday will be a continuing discussion of the notions around program council. Last time there were more formal presentations by various people who had proposals, as well as hearing how things were done at various stations. And this Sunday we'll break into small groups for listeners to have an opportunity to discuss the issues and get out their ideas.
Okay. Now, Lydia, how is programming decided? Who does programming, and what are some of the plans that some people have to change this or democratize this new Pacifica?
Okay, well, right now we're in this interim.
You're the chairman of the local board, Lydia Bresson.
Yes, thank you. We're in an interim position right now. I think historically people would bring proposals to the station, and the program director and station manager would make those decisions. I think right now, until we have a program council, we have a general manager who is trying to go to various constituencies and various listener and community collectives to have some input as to how some of the decisions are being made, although they're not being made on a grand scale at this juncture. And what we're hoping to do is create a structure by which you have people on the staff, people that are working at the station, having to do with programs, perhaps programmers, be part of this program council, as well as a more equitable representation of listeners across the board that represent various constituencies, rather than some of the models that exist even within the Pacifica family, where you have a limited number of community representation.
Now, the manager, the general manager, who's now Eva Georgia, legally the general manager is the one responsible for the programming. That if there's some legal thing going on, difficulty, the manager is the one with the back against the wall.
Exactly.
And so that's one thing that the any idea of councils or listeners' input has to revolve around. The manager is legally responsible, and you can't have a body unless you fire the manager over a programming decision, which has been, has come up in the past. But
should have come up.
But the manager is responsible for programming, cannot be legally overridden except by the body, which would say, you don't want to put the car show an extra half hour, you're fired. That would be the national board. And that kind of thing is not too likely to happen. So all of this is sort of revolving around the manager's decision, and of course the manager's representative, the program director, who does the scut work of the daily work of programming.
Right, but I think it's what I have often said is that in addition to some structures that have clearly been needed Pacifica and locally at KPFK, is that there also has to be a will to want to do them. And I am very optimistic that there is that will. And so therefore, if you have a program council that is proposed in the way of strong recommendations in relation to programming, that it's rational because we're not suggesting that things be developed in a vacuum. That's the whole point. And if you have a responsive general manager, which we fully expect that we do have, that is responsive to community needs, then there is no reason for there to be any significant conflict.
You know, one of the things that's, I think, very difficult for us is there's an inherent contradiction in a station that has professional staff but is a grassroots community radio station.
Yes.
So the question is, and the reason I came up with any proposal at all, to which I am not wedded whatsoever, except that there be strong listener participation in the decision-making, is because of this contradiction, we, on the one hand, have to have active listener involvement, and I think substantial listener presence in decision-making on, for instance, a program council. On the other hand, we do not want to create a situation of alienated labor in this station, where people who are paid staff, as well as unpaid staff, simply do the bidding of listeners who aren't part of that. So there is an inherent contradiction. The station that is based on listener participation and volunteer programmers, but you have professional staff. So I think the big question is, how do we balance these? How do we deal with this contradiction? And I think we can, as long as there is a coming together of staff and listeners. Listeners, I would say, have to represent a substantial proportion of the program council. I had an idea which was a little bit different too, of smaller committees that fed into a program council. So you involve many more listeners, many more programmers, that people work in public affairs and news together, talk about, okay, what do we have? How can we help people improve their programs? And then that the bigger body sort of deals with the big picture.
Well, as Lydia pointed out, we're in an interim period right now, a period between now, and that interim period will stretch between now and when we first hold elections for the local station board. And in that period, I believe that the form that a program council should take would have to be somewhat different than it will be once we have an elected local board. The reason for that is an elected local board is directly accountable to the listeners through the electoral process, and therefore I believe at that time should play a more central role in determining what goes on the air. But at this particular point in time, the local board is still an appointed and self-selecting body. It has strong roots in the listener community, and it has a strong history of supporting listener democracy initiatives. And so it has a great deal of credibility, but I believe that it needs to share power, as Lydia described, with local listeners organizations, with the staff, of course, and with at-large representatives from the community in a less formal program council structure that gathers input from the communities and brings that input out into the public light, so that listeners in particular and communities can know not only that they can not only have input to the programming process, but they can know what they themselves collectively are thinking. In other words, there have to be public forums that let the listeners speak to one another, so that each individual listener isn't there as an isolated person saying, well, maybe they voted on this programming issue in an opposite way from what I thought, but maybe everybody else other than me thought that that was the right way to do it. Instead, we need some way of listeners working out their ideas together collectively. Now, before we have lab elections, the way that could be done is through this informal structure I just described, which is very similar to the structure we put together for the choosing of a general manager, which worked fairly well.
Not according to the general manager.
Well,
it was a grilling
it was hard on the general manager. measure, and it's hard on everyone, but
there'll
I think
be 77 meetings at which 8,000 people will grill you.
But and it is, actually, I thought about this morning driving in, that we, as we strike this balance, we have to think. Right now, we're in a process where we're going to have a similar search committee for the program director, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And yet, do we have any kind of a like process for the listener representatives that are going to be on this program council? Are they being held up to any standard?
Well, mm-hmm. I'd like to weigh in here because,
Jonathan, yeah.
First of all, I just wanted to say that much of what Carl just mentioned, I wholeheartedly agree with, and actually is. Especially the listener forums, although I understand the reluctance of staff and management to have to deal with, let's say, a dissatisfied listenership in regular forums, although my proposal does recommend a monthly meeting of the program council. Where I find I'm in a minority here on this debate is that I believe that the only way to make a programming council or anybody that has input or decision-making power over a programming, and I do propose that the programming councils actually have power over the general manager, what I believe...
That's illegal.
No, it's actually not, because partly what you stated about the legal responsibility of the general manager, the ultimate legal responsibility are the owners of Pacifica to any legal matters regarding programming content. And the way that hierarchy would go down is that the general managers answer to the executive directors who answer to the national board members. So all in the chain of command would be ultimately responsible for any risk to the FCC license, for example. And this responsibility would not be negated, in my opinion, and I believe would be legally legitimate in the sense that if we had elected programming councils, which is what I'm suggesting,
And with which I agree, Jonathan.
And that the station board itself actually be the programming council. We have separate advisory boards per Carol's suggestion to satisfy CPB requirements. But with elected programming councils as opposed to appointed, which is what ultimately you're suggesting, that listeners be sort of appointed or chosen as being the most representative of the community. I prefer that they be elected. Programming councils be elected, therefore accountable through recall measures. And then most importantly, so what that is, that's the accountability part. I haven't addressed the staff problems yet, which you articulated, all of you.
I haven't articulated the staff problem. I'd say if I'm doing a music program and the program council says, hey, you know, we like that salsa, but we want more Beach Boys. We need 20 minutes of Beach Boys on your salsa program.
Granted.
Or it's like if you're a jazz musician and you have a committee and they say, you're doing fine, but we need more E flats and a few less notes on the second half of the piece.
Right.
And instead of a saxophone, use a flute.
I don't think anyone's suggesting that an individual program, a program council, would tell a programmer what to do.
No, I'm in.
Because we're not supporting censorship.
Sure, actually, if you'll excuse me, that's exactly what I'm suggesting. And as I said, I know I'm in the minority here, excuse me, at least on this program.
That for each individual program, the programming council gets to say
You're misunderstanding my point. What I'm talking about is that a programming council that is empowered by listeners, that represents listeners' concerns, by that council having been elected directly by listeners and staff, I might add, and anybody in the community, would I believe, rarely be in a position where it would have to countermand any decision or override a decision by general manager. If the programming council and the community at large, there was a transparent process of open meetings, many other processes such as you're recommending, but that the bottom line is that the listenership... station went off the air.
Oh.
I just wanted to tell you that the signal is no longer propagated.
Great.
I'm obviously it's a conspiracy. And
are we off? We are on. We're
yeah.
Okay, we're still on.
We're back.
I think that was the programming council objecting to...
That was the staff objecting to the
yeah.
program council.
Okay, I just wanted to just quickly restate what I was saying in the blackout period, that the programming councils are, shall we say, accountable if they're elected. And if they're empowered, I believe the political dynamic, the reality of the way this community works, would be very difficult for decisions to be countermanded if the community's involved in those decisions to begin with. In other words, if there's input, as you're all suggesting, then in an open process with staff there as well. Staff has shown very little interest in participating through this process lately over the last 5 years, and I'm very concerned about that. And I think they need to voice their opinions and be involved. But otherwise, if we continue, I'm sorry, to avoid democratization because staff members have an intrinsic interest to protect their programming no matter what, then we don't really, we may not actually be serving what I believe is how the mission should be interpreted, especially in these very, very difficult political times we face now.
Jonathan, you know, by and large, I agree with you, but I do think that we have a situation where the staff, both paid and unpaid staff, has to be involved with us, the non-programming listeners, in a program console. Maybe one solution is, I mean, the staff and the listeners need to be talking more. We aren't. The staff should be going to the bylaws discussions, for instance, I think.
Absolutely.
And be part of all of these discussions. We need to break down that boundary, because there still is one, I believe. I think these various search committees help to break that down. But the fact of the matter is, and I'm not sure how it's resolved, I think that the both paid and unpaid staff have to be part of the programming council decision-making process.
I think
open meetings, monthly forums for discussion. I don't think there should be micromanagement. In my view, a program council has kind of does a general overall concept of programming, and the program director, in my view, implements what the program council develops as part of ongoing community forums and discussions.
But programming is an art.
Right.
Well,
I agree.
Well, the solution to this, I believe, is to clearly separate the implementation of the programs from the evaluation process. The program council should be responsible for evaluating the program and giving feedback to the people implementing it as to how well they believe it's meeting Pacifica's mission. And they should be responsible for bringing in listener input and coordinating that and making sure that that's available to the programmers. And ultimately, if the problems can't be corrected or if there's a need for a general change in the composition of programming, the program council should have the ability to remove certain programs and put others in their place. Now, what's happened at KPFA gives us an example of what occurs.
Now they already have a program council up there. It's
right.
KPFA.
They've had a program council since the 1980s. And the program council, however, was set up by staff for the benefit of the program director initially, and has only been very gradually and slowly and inadequately at this point moving toward a more open model that brings in listener representatives and input. What we've had there is complete or near complete stasis. There's been no ability since 1999, at least, for this group to make a decision to complete an evaluation of an existing program. There's so much at stake for the individuals involved in creating programs, and it's just a notorious problem, as we know, the infamous story of someone trying to leave a program to someone in their will.
Which is a totally apocryphal. Mm-hmm. Absolutely no basis in fact whatsoever.
But it expresses the fundamental truth, and that's why it
true.
Resonates.
Right. I also think that what has been been grossly neglected, and I view it very differently from my other friends here, is that I think we also have what we're forming here are community collectives, so that if you had, let's say, a youth collective and a program is brought to them, and then that youth collective says, oh, this really does meet the needs of our community, and then they refer this to the program council so that that program council receives something from a legitimate base that is truly representative
of a particular community and their needs, but only that. They do not determine the quality of the technical aspects of the programming. They do not determine where it should be. Mm-hmm. And then those people with the greater expertise should be on that program council, along with representatives from the various constituencies, and not just listeners who happen to have enough time to sit on all of these bodies. I also have my reservations about an electoral process. Our own national elections show that that can be faulty, to think that that is the end-all solution, and that so-called self-appointing is what you're going to overrule, and everything will be a panacea coming. That is not necessarily the answer, as we will learn. I think we have to use some common sense. We have to slow down a little bit, because we have never had the opportunity to maximize the potential of organizing communities, etc.
Well, it may not.
I don't think we disagree, Lydia.
Okay.
I think that the process of developing programs that are generated in communities is really all of our goals. And the review of those by a programming council, the need to develop and how do we evaluate things, I think is a separate process, and it should be done by people who have the expertise, and that's why I was suggesting these committees, to also help people improve their programming, not to have an evaluation process, which is, well, you're not doing well, goodbye. But is this an important program for a community? How do we make it better? But not to micromanage at all.
Okay, I'm not suggesting that an empowered programming council over programming would micromanage, because I think it would be impossible politically for it to do so, even if it had the power to do so. And may I add that the representative quality, degree of representation of concerns of the community, whether those concerns be part of collectives in the within the community or and other subsets of the communities in the listener area, the way to solve this problem, the way to facilitate this process, is through an open, dynamic series of monthly forums, as well as many other private meetings of different subsets of these people who want to be involved in reviewing and determining programming. This is the key. That can be the way that would be increased. The effect of that, the implementation, is to use the signal to do so, to broadcast in a convenient way, let's say at off hours maybe, or rotate broadcasting of very important meetings concerning programming.
Right, and I would point out, Jonathan and others, that in terms of an elected program council, if the local board is, in fact, the program council and has that authority over programming, then definitely there will be elections, because that's been mandated by the legal settlement that we just went through.
Yes, but if those elected people are not empowered to do anything, there really is not a democratic structure.
But that's
an election with a dead end.
But that kind of empowerment is actually part of the Carol Spooner proposal, which I think at this point is the leading proposal.
I would like to say at this point, you're listening to KPFK Los Angeles, 90.7 FM, heard in Santa Barbara at 98.7 FM and on the web at kpfk.org. We're broadcasting a special program of 2 hours on programming and programming council. This is one of a series of KPFK Matters programs which have been mandated by the National Board. I'm Roy Tuckman, a veteran programmer at KPFK for 25 years on as a programmer and 30 years on the staff. And with me is Lydia Brazon, who is the chairman of the Local Advisory Board. And then we have Sherna Gluck, who is a civilian, a listener who's a member of the Free Pacifica Neighborhood Network, and also Carl Gunther, who's a member of the Free Pacifica Neighborhood Network, and on the telephone, Jonathan Markowitz, who has a, I don't understand what it is, proposal of
programming council proposals,
and should the programming councils be elected or appointed, and how much power should they have, and all the, we're discussing the problems that might happen and might not happen, and we will be before this program is over, eliciting your phone calls. Right now, we're going to hear take a little break and listen to one of my favorite CDs currently called Many Strings Attached.
A coalition of listener activists will be holding a town hall meeting entitled Democracy is Coming to KPFK on Sunday, August 4th from 1 to 5:30 p.m. at Loyola Law School, located at 1441 West Olympic Boulevard in the Burns Building Student Lounge. From 1 to 2:30 p.m., there will be breakout groups discussing the role and composition of the proposed program council. From 3 to 5:30, you, the listeners, will vote for representatives to search committees that will make recommendations to the general manager for the positions currently available for program director, news director, and development director. For more information, log on to kpfk.org or call 310-831-6023. Hope to see you there.
Hi, I'm Rick.
And I'm Doran. On Digital Village, we go beyond mere product reviews to tell you how technology is breaking down cultural and political borders,
both around the globe and in your living room.
Join us on Digital Village Saturday mornings
from 10 to 11 on 90.7 FM.
KPFK.
Los Angeles.
Now, I think that the computer show does too much programming about Google, and they should talk more about Metacrawler. If they have any Google discussion, they should have equal time devoted to Metacrawler. And also, if they talk about PCs, they should have more Mac programming.
But that's not what we're talking about.
That's not what we're talking about.
But see, all these people like me who don't stay up that late get to hear Roy in the middle of the day now.
In fact, if we separate the implementation of programming from the evaluation of programming, we actually prevent that from happening to a very large extent. At KPFA, you actually have programmers who are sitting on the program council, and they're has been some backbiting where one particular group was trying to move in on another group's program and use the evaluation process, or at least it seemed that way to some listeners, in order to achieve that end. So there's an example of some micromanagement going on through the program council process, which is specifically due to not separating the implementation from the evaluation function. We do need to separate that, and I completely agree with you that as far as artistic freedom, as far as the way in which the program's done, that ought to be the purview of the programmer. But if the program isn't serving the mission and the evaluation process determines that through a regular and a set of stated rules, you need to have a set of stated rules, criteria for what does meet the mission, what doesn't, and run down the checklist and give the programmer's input on that. Once you've done that, it is possible then for the program council to say, this program, I'm sorry, even with the corrections you've made or attempts you've made to correct it, isn't serving our mission as well as some of the programming that we need. And so it's just either a yes or no decision at that point, not how you do your program, but you know whether it's on or not.
Okay, well,
you know, the implementation issue is really critical because people want a lot of hours of programming, and there are only so many hours of the day. So how do you rotate? How
make
do
every
you
program
split
shorter.
Them? Right, or you alternate.
1 minute programs, you could have 60 of them in a
Oh, like
hour.
How much time we get at the lab meetings
right.
to speak, huh?
Instead of the music never stopping, it might stop at some point. Some other music might start. I just want to make a few comments, if I can, about the importance of programming in this process, because some people have actually claimed that programming is really what it's all about, because that's the ultimate product, if you will, of Pacifica, is the programming we put out on the air.
On commercial radio, they call it product.
Right,
yeah.
But I don't agree with that point of view. The way I see it is, especially once we have an elected local station board, the programming will to a large extent determine who listens to our station. And who listens to our station then will determine who's going to be voting in the elections, because we're going to be empowering people. Probably everyone who contributes to the station will end up being empowered under the current planned bylaws for elections.
And of course, that is my concern, by the way.
That's a big concern.
Is that right now we're going to hold elections for largely a population that may or may not be that representative community. I have personally found it to be rather startling that some of the listener-organized activities are by and large not racially diversified. On the other hand, when we had Unity Fest, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. was representative mm-hmm. of our broad listenership, it was very diverse,
and
both
a
in
lot
age
of young
and,
people.
And racially and in every other respect.
Right.
So I question the validity of the representation of community that will be manifested through these elections.
Well, maybe we hold an election at a big Unity Fest.
Actually, your argument...
Get them all there with the music.
Your argument, Lydia, and I have some of the same concerns you have about the current listeners electing a station board, but your argument that you just made actually seems to argue in the opposite direction, because the Unity Fest brought in a much broader group of people than would normally be present at a listener movement event. So they might actually be argued to be more representative of our listeners. On the other hand, the people who show up at Unifest may themselves be a more limited group, and I think we need to do a survey and find out. But let me just complete my thought. There's a cycle going on here, and that's between the listeners, the programming, which selects to a large extent the listeners who then end up one way or another electing a local station board, and then the station board, which has input, if they become the program council or responsible for programming, into programming. And so to a certain extent, this cycle is self-perpetuating. There are ways that you can get into it by doing community organizing around certain local board candidates, for example. Community can make its needs and interests felt by electing somebody who is compatible with their interests onto the board, and that can change the process. But there is a certain inertia to the whole process of having this cycle going on, and that's why a program council is very important, because the program council will allow in the stages before we start of the elections, where this loop is more open and the people who are involved are people who are more core people who are very interested in Pacifica's mission and I believe very supportive of it, to start the process of changing the programming before we have those elections, so the people who elect members of our local boards will be listeners who have been attracted by programming that's more consistent with Pacifica's mission and therefore more supportive of the mission itself.
Yes, Carl, one way to implement this, though, actually, which has not been articulated well, I've heard, anywhere in the community, is that by rotating locations to have listener forums, and that is, for my proposal, program council meetings, which would be large, and like effectively publicize these meetings as they're going to be coming up, so that, and where you would outreach to every corner of the community and take it upon themselves to have teams of people, have volunteers go into the community, as Lydia suggests, connect with collectives and organized political groups in those communities, and get people involved as well as tied in with some social events. See, this way, what we're doing is we're physically taking the signal, which is what I propose, to record these meetings or broadcast them live if people have the courage to do so. And this way, what happens is the signal itself becomes the propagating medium, which pushes the envelope through to where we really need the communities involved. That's the way
to... And that's some way that can be done.
And it's a terrific idea. The problem, of course, is you may still be reaching the very same people. How do you... All those young people that came to Unity Fest, for instance, what programs do they listen to?
Uncle
They're
Rizzo?
Not going to come...
Not that young.
They are not going to come to meetings in the community.
They may not.
And that's why the use of the signal is extremely important. But it cannot be a program about this. It has to be integrated into the various programs that reach different constituencies. It has to be integrated into new programs created by those constituencies.
That's true. But you can't
have meetings and expect single mothers to be there if there's not childcare. People working different hours. There are real problems with the notion of doing this at meetings.
I don't.
At a broad level, I think we're in agreement, Jonathan, all three of us that have spoken on this so far, that there needs to be a way of having listeners get together, talk about the programming, and become aware of each other's views and concentrate those views into some kind of a consensus or some kind of multiple views, at least, that have certain representation in the community, and then have the program council presented with that and make a decision in the full light of day, knowing that if they do anything differently than what the listeners have generally come up with and said, they're going to be responsible for it when the elections come and they can be held accountable for
it.
This is KPFK Los Angeles, and we are having a special KPFK Matters program about programming structures and how they are being put together and how they should be put together, and the organization of programming councils. With us live in studio are Lydia Brasson, who is the chairman of the local advisory board for KPFK, and Carol Gunther, a Free Pacifica Neighborhood Network volunteer activist. Carl, I'm sorry, I can't read my own writing. Carl Gunther and Ashurna Gluck, a Free Pacifica Neighborhood, it's kind of strange, Neighborhood Network person, and on the phone, Jonathan Markowitz, who has come up with an idea for the organization of program councils. Ooh, okay. I think we will now throw open the discussion to anybody who's listening. I don't use telephone producers or screeners or anything. So what happens under this the old way is that you call us at 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK, and it rings and rings and rings. And when it is answered, you are on the air. So that way, I don't even know. So, also, we want what kind of people to call to take special?
We want everyone to call. I don't want this to be like, I know the KPFA elections that they had, there was only 10% participation. And I found that startling because that's my concern, that then those 10% mm-hmm. determine who will be on the council and board, etc. So that's why it's so important for everyone to participate, no matter how boring we may sound on the air.
And let's remind people that this is not a discussion about specific programs that they do and don't want, but how those decisions get made.
Okay, and I will try to figure out how to do this without hanging up on Jonathan. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, Roy. It's Dave Cohen. How are you?
This is not fixed, I swear it.
I just knew the number. I wanted to make a couple of points. First of all, one of the things that Lou Hill wrote about when he was founding the station, KPFA, then that turned into the network, was that he was trying to create a place where thinkers and artists could work with freedom that was denied them in the rest of radio, and therefore that you could get the occurrence of the unusual and the things that move people, because the job of the programmer was not to manage audience flows. And I think there's a similar dynamic in there when you're talking about having large bureaucratic elaborate structures that are standing over the people who you want to give the privilege of communicating to. So one of the things that I think is really important is that if there are reviews of this sort, which there should be, they have to be intermittent enough. In other words, they have to be scheduled so that when you give the privilege to somebody to communicate as they see fit, they have that right for a period of time and aren't constantly dealing with somebody looking over their shoulder. The other point is that there's a distinction between programming decisions and programming policy decisions. One of the big programming policy decisions that got made with the reconfiguration of the network some years ago in the mid-90s was, for example, getting rid of issue-specific shows that were done by people in the community who were specifically knowledgeable about those topics and replacing them with, for example, magazine shows with individual hosts that ran across the week who could present a wide variety of topics skillfully without necessarily themselves being particularly invested in any of those topics. And I think that when you're talking about programming councils, it's useful to distinguish between the question of whether you're establishing policy, like are there going to be shows that serve specific communities or specific issues, or are there going to be magazine shows, versus the question of who makes the specific programming decision about who gets the privilege of being there and for what purpose. And the last thing is it's very important to me to see that whatever structure gets developed protects the unusual, protects the freedom of artists, thinkers, and people who are ethically driven to do what they think is important without necessarily having to worry in the near term about having somebody over their shoulder.
May I just insert here that when I proposed that there be oversight and even the power to override a program decision, I'm not talking about monitoring a programmer's content and then making, countermanding what the programmer was to do. On the contrary, what I'm referring to is that if a programmer is determined not to really serve the community as well as the mission, and if that programmer's content is specifically examined, and that is an issue of contention in the community, then I believe there should be a methodology with which the listeners' concerns, as well as anybody else in the community, can address that through a power.
Well, can I bring up one other point?
I'm not talking about micromanaging somebody's program.
I understand. One last point, which is the question of democratic centralism, which is you can have a diversely constituted board, but if the board acts by majority vote, you may actually not get the diversity you're looking for. What you're going to get is programming that serves the interests of the particular majority of that board, however it was elected. So there does have to be some more thinking about how the
David, depends on how that's constructed.
Okay, thank you, David.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
I just want to agree with that caller on the issue of periodic and regular evaluation of programming, because that's also important from the standpoint of making sure that this program council is not used for censorship.
But there's another aspect here, and that is I don't think that we're talking about only about evaluation. We're talking about ways to introduce programs, the point Lydia made earlier, and the process that has been initiated already in a very preliminary fashion where elements in the community, collectives can form themselves. We may be encouraging the formation of various programs in different communities that are introduced, and the program council is the vehicle through which they are introduced. So it's a feeding into the program council.
Hello, caller.
Is that me?
Yes, you.
Okay. I do have a question about the programming council or program council that will be established within, I suppose, a month or so. I want to particularly ask what plans or proposals or patterns of representation are being now considered, and that's part of the question. That is, how many listeners, how many boards, how many staff, how many programmers, etc. And with particular emphasis on how many listener representatives. In the history of Pacifica, from the first day before it was even born, the status of listeners was always relegated to the lowest level. And that exists. And even now, as plans are being carried out, listeners have, at this point and in the envisioned future, peripheral membership on decision-making committees. So when it comes to the programming council specifically, what plans are there to extend the membership of listeners who I think should have at least half the seats? That's my question. Two questions.
That's the question. Okay.
Well, two questions. First, what plans are being envisioned now, and how do they focus on the increased significant representation of listeners as voting and decision-making people?
Well, Paul, I think that there's one answer to both questions, is there are no plans that have been put forward. We are in a process of dialogue and discussion. That was the point of the meeting 2 weeks ago, the point of the upcoming meeting this Sunday, the point of this discussion. There are discussions going on in a host of venues and amongst different people. I don't believe there's anything out there.
Well, there was one when
there's the one that was put on the website, and I think many of us reacted. It's why I put forward a proposal myself, is because I thought it was an abomination. It was modeled after the KPFA one, which is complete staff control. As you know, and I hope some women call in, We've had two men so far. And as you know, Paul, I support the idea of at least parity, if not majority, listener composition on a program console. But I think we have to really deal with the contradiction between the role of the listeners and the role of both paid and unpaid staff and figure out how we balance the two on a program console.
I just wanted to point out that I believe that the local advisory board has withdrawn its support, if it ever made it, for that proposal that's now posted on the website and has other ideas about how this should be done.
That's at pacifica.org.
It's still up on the website, and that may be just a function of not maintaining the website as well as we might.
But it keeps the conversation going. I mean, this is what exists at KPFA. Much of the settlement that we're working off of has to do, with including the election model with KPFA. But yes, I mean, we have not had a full on discussion on the local advisory board yet, as a matter of fact, about this. I think, however, that the general sentiment, and I might be speaking out of order here, would be that we want more listener representation on this. It's the numbers and so forth and the mechanics of that have not been determined yet.
Who will determine that?
Well, that's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to hear from listeners to see how they feel. We're on at Loyola Law School at 1441 West Olympic Boulevard this Sunday starting at 2:30.
From 1 to 2:45. Well, there will be ongoing discussion among listeners. Hopefully some staff might join us too in small groups.
I know we've been criticized in the past for not taking up calls.
Carl, my question still remains. Who will determine not the names of people who will hold
right, the composition.
That's the question.
The dialogue is occurring, and I think there's some sense that it may even be in the bylaws. I mean, it's not just us in the KPFA signal area. It's people in the other four signal areas, too, that are talking about this.
I wanted to point out that this is one of the issues I wanted to bring up, that Carol Spooner's proposal, for example, which refers to authority of programming in a very general way in terms of elected station, local station boards, but her proposal in no way stipulates how those decisions would be implemented and the structure with which those decisions would be carried out. And I think this is a weakness of her proposal. I could guess what her motive is in not stipulating, that she thinks that we ought to let each signal area sort of come up with its own way of solving this. However, I don't believe that's the real solution here. I think we need a uniform structure across the network at all five signals.
Jonathan, we've got a full board of blinking lights here.
Exactly.
Yeah. We've been criticized before on earlier programs for not taking enough calls, so move on and take another
Hello,
call.
Hello, caller.
Yeah, you know, the original bylaws proposal was done by a group called the Pacifica Accountability Committee, and one of the things we did not want to see was we wanted to see a listener-elected board for the sole purpose of not having Pacifica drift into areas of becoming a corporatized entity, which it was becoming under the previous board structure. We did not want micromanaging of the station. What we did want to balance everything out was unscreened listener call-ins, like you're doing today, Roy, where people just get right on the air and are dealing with things, whereby each informational content program has a certain amount of its program time opened up for unscreened listener call-ins, and we felt that was the best way to keep the honest people honest. What we have in the so-called listeners movement is a lot of people that do want to micromanage the station, that want to end up like doing things like having a listener-elected national board, which we thought was a terrible idea because it disenfranchises the local areas. And we really wanted, you know, the station board to be responsive to the listeners, where the listeners do have the ultimate veto and recall over lab members, you know, for not showing up to meetings, for just being incompetent, stuff like that. But we didn't really want anybody micromanaging the station except the listeners to be able to respond to things through their call-ins, and that would keep the station fairly alive and fairly flexible and keep things rolling in a good way. As far as FPNN, FPNN hasn't had a general council meeting since April because it became very dysfunctional. There are other listener groups. There are other all kinds of listeners, and the station hasn't yet been able to reach out to all the listeners or even all the potential listeners.
On that note, Lloyd, the three people that we've heard from now, not only have we heard from three men, the three men that we heard from are people who call in regularly, who are very active in the listener movement. I would hope that we get some other folks out there.
No, I haven't called in since February. The last time
I don't
Roy
mean you specifically. The three people are people
I
who
I just happen to be born a man, but I've been working on this issue for 8 years. And I'm discouraged with a lot of the power tripping, a lot of the micromanaging, a lot of the people that are heavy into control that is going on in the quote-unquote listeners movement.
I think we all are, but what we need to do is, I mean, we're still just heard from three people involved in the listener movement. We need to hear from those folks out there who aren't using the radio for just that.
I would like to address the caller's point, though. First of all, the issue of micromanaging, again, first of all, I wish the caller had not hung up because I would like to find out what his recommendation would be for how listeners' concerns over current programming, let's say he's unhappy with the current programming, what is his suggestion for how his concerns would be implemented in terms of a structure? Is he just suggesting that only call-ins?
Well, he's not here,
yeah.
Hello, caller.
Hi.
Yes.
I almost hung up, given Sherna's last remarks about regulars calling in or people who are very active. I'm one of them, certainly. I just want to make some fairly brief remarks. I'll just be to the point. I'm not really going to ask a question. I think this whole thing about micromanagement of programming is kind of a red herring. Really, what we're dealing with is a question of accountability in the wake of the hijacking of the network's mission in programming. What happened was that the old Pacific National Board instituted something called the Strategic 5-Year Plan, which was a plan basically to mainstream Pacific's programming. Dave Adelson referred to that to a certain extent. And it was very successful.